for Success Express, your business, career, and financial radio magazine. Hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio Success Express Business and Career Show. Today, we're going behind the scenes in the world of security. Now, we're not really going behind the scenes, but we're going to find out what it's like to, you know, get insurance. If you own a security company, or maybe you're a private investigator, we're going to talk about insurance for that. It's something we never really thought about until we met Fred Gardenauer. He is the owner of DFA Insurance. He's based in the greater Dallas, Texas area. And he's going to talk to us about, you know, what he does. And you can go to his website, dfainsure.com. So, Fred, how are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for having me on.
Hey, this is cool. And, you know, when we first met you, you're saying, well, I'm in the insurance world, but it's, yeah, I insure those who, you know, security guards, bodyguards, you know, private investigators. I was like, dude, wow. I never even thought of, I didn't even think about this.
Well, I thought it would be ultra expensive because I don't think an average insurance company would insure a private investigator.
Yeah. How does that work?
No, they don't. Let me tell you, this the business is an interesting business because it's a whole different segment of what you would think about when you think about insurance. Everybody thinks about cars, homes, you know, that kind of thing. But then when you talk about business insurance, it gets a little bit more technical. Well, then when you talk about security guards, private investigators, and alarm companies, you talk about something even more technical. Because in the security guard business, as an example, they're out there when most times other people are not. So you think that you don't pay much attention when you leave your office that there's some guy standing behind a desk with a gun waiting for something not to happen or hoping something won't happen. But if it does, he is prepared. And that's what security guard companies do. And so when you look at insurance for security guard companies, you have to take in consideration several things. And one of those things is what they're going to guard. Because not all projects are alike. For instance, a guard that is behind a desk at a office building at midnight is less likely to run across a problem than a security guard that is patrolling an industrial office complex or an industrial business, and he's shaking doors. Well, all of a sudden he finds a door that's ajar. And then he has to go in and he has to check to make sure that nobody has entered the premises that they didn't know about. And if they do, then his job is not to confront, but to actually call the police, let the police handle it. If he can, a lot of times he can, sometimes not so much. So from an insurance standpoint, we have to note some factors that usually are not, you don't ask. Clients, but in our particular case, we have to know particulars. You know, how much experience does this guard have? Is he armed? Is he unarmed? Do you have a 22-year-old with a gun on a post at a bank, which is a bad idea?
No, I don't like that one.
Yeah, you don't want that.
I don't like that.
Yeah. You want a guy that's in their late 50s at a bank because they've seen a lot more than a 22-year-old, obviously. And 20-year-old, and no offense to any 22-year-olds out there, but they have a tendency to react first and think later And that's always a bad idea for a security guard. So there's several elements that we get involved in. And then there's those things that people don't quite think of. It winds up being, you don't think about, and I'll tell you a quick story.
Oh, good.
You don't think about, you don't think about your security guard stories. Yeah, you don't think about the security guard that is sitting at a hospital front desk and the hospital's virtually closed for the night. And he's sitting there and he's really bored. And so he is an amateur hacker. And so he has his laptop with him. And so he hacks into the systems at the hospital that turn off and on the oxygen, turn off and on the air conditioning, turn off and on the heaters, that whole thing. And so when he leaves the premises, he takes his laptop with him and he sits at his apartment and he is turning on and off all these various things that hospitals need to operate. Well, that sounded initially like it wouldn't be a big deal until he started cutting the oxygen off to the operating rooms.
And the
hospital's freaking out. They hired an expert to come in and they went through their whole system with a fine tooth comb to try to figure out why their system was shutting on and off and all that. Turns out they finally figured out they got hacked. They called the FBI. This guard actually was sitting at the desk when the FBI raided it. And they confiscated his laptop and found out that he had total control over the entire system. And he wasn't doing it with malice. He was just doing it because he was bored. Now, this particular security guard wound up doing 7 years in the federal pen because they tagged him as a terrorist. And if he'd been in an office building, it probably wouldn't have been that way. But because he was in a hospital and people could have died, he decided that they decided that this was a terrorism act. And they were trying to make an example. This was in the early days of hackers. So they were trying to make an example of someone. And they did. So it's those kinds of calls that I get that just kind of make the hair on the back of my neck stand up, because I don't know that anybody saw something like that coming. Now, today, this is some 10 years later, we're kind of prepared when you hear the name hacker. And so now they sell a policy out there called cyber liability. And basically that's a liability policy for a security guard firm that can cover the security guard firm against this type of problem.
So against their own employee. So you're protected of your own employee.
Your employee did something that he shouldn't have done that had to do with computers. And so this steps in and helps litigate this particular issue so the security guard's not on the hook. Because these things can run into the $100,000 million mark,
sure.
Depending on what situation was. So that's something that nobody saw coming. And I will tell you this, and this is a little known secret. That's not much of a secret, but most insurance companies get surprised, just like you and I do. They think they've written their policy that covers everything that it should cover, but they don't. Ask Farmers Insurance, who years ago never ever thought that mold was ever going to be an issue. Well, guess what? Some $16 billion later, Farmers has an exclusion in their policy for mold. Unless you want to buy that exclusion back at a cost. But nobody ever thought of that prior to somebody filing a mold claim against their insurance carrier. And then everybody rushed out and started adding an endorsement to their policy.
Wow.
The other thing that came up was more recent, and that was COVID-19. Companies did not think that employees coming down with COVID would be an employee liability, would be in a workers' comp claim. But one person in a company caught COVID because they were at a shelter, guarding a shelter, and didn't wear a mask because it was back at early days. They caught COVID. They died. They tracked it back and said that's the only place this guy could have caught it. And so some couple hundred thousand dollars later, the insurance company paid off for the guy's death. And now almost all companies have an exclusion in their policy for communicable disease, which is something that nobody ever heard of before. So these things get added after the fact, but it's the first guy, in the loop, so to speak,
catches the
brunt of it. And so this is an interesting business, but if you're in the security guard, private investigator, alarm business, there are more ways that you can wind up with claims than what you think there are. So you have to make sure two things happen. One is you consult an expert. We've been doing this about 40 years. And I will tell you, in 40 years, you would think I've seen it all, but no, I've seen some. And yes, we can be prepared for most of it, but there'll be something come around the corner, I'm sure, in the near future, that nobody ever saw it coming. So
this is how these insurance policies actually get written, as a way of just weird stuff happening all the time. And we better have protection on this because it's more cost effective to have the protection than the millions or
the person or people writing the policy. There's absolutely no way they can think of everything that might happen.
No,
they can't.
Because most lawyers are the ones that write the policy, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And lawyers, and no offense to any lawyers out there, but most lawyers think they know everything, but they don't.
Insert lawyer joke.
Yeah. And so what happens is they wind up getting surprised, just like everybody else, and then everybody's in a reactionary mode. The one of the other policies that just came into the spotlight about 3 years ago is a policy called Employers Legal. It's called EPLI. It's called Employers Practices Liability Insurance. And it came about because employers were beginning to be sued by disgruntled employees that have left the company. And what they did was they would get together at lunch, three of these employees, for example, that were unhappy. and so they filed a class action suit against the employer because they're for 2.5 years, they felt like their lunch break had gotten cut short by 15 minutes. So the lawsuit cost the employer almost $90,000 to defend.
Wow.
He never paid one single dime on this because it was a frivolous claim. But had he had this policy, the insurance policy would have stepped in and provided the defense for this lawsuit. Okay.
So at that point, the lawyer's making money, so he's happy.
Yeah, he doesn't care.
Yeah.
He's going to get paid one word.
At one point, I was going, is this the insurance?
It's true about lawyer? Lawyers.
But basically, the lawyer makes money no matter what.
No matter what.
Yeah, exactly. That's why you're a lawyer. Because you don't lose. You can't lose. Yeah. So EPLI covers the employer for lawsuits that are brought against them or claims for discrimination, for wrongful termination, for sexual harassment, for several things that really is not in the employer's control. Understand that the employer has 300 people working for him. He has 20 supervisors. If one of those supervisors say something or act misbehave in some way toward another employee, and that employee quits or gets fired, I guarantee you they're going to come back at the employer with discrimination. Mm-hmm. They always claim it's discrimination. Mm-hmm. And so I will tell you the one that I got recently was really interesting. There's no children on this program, is there?
No, but it is open to the public. We can do a disclaimer.
I'm just what's going on?
I'm just kidding. I'm not going there.
It's going to be the stories are getting even more interesting.
No.
I went lawyer brain.
I don't tell those kind of stories. But what happened was a gentleman that was in his early 70s tried to, he filled out an application. They agreed to hire him to be a security guard. His post was a simple one. You're going to sit at a desk from 10 o'clock at night till 8 o'clock in the morning at an office building. This is what his job was. The gentleman did not like that post. He did not want to be there. Mm-hmm. What he wanted was to be at a car dealership because he liked to mess around with, he liked looking at the cars, and he wanted to be at a car dealership. So they said, you can't be at a car dealership because our contract says that there's an age limit for us to have a guard there. You can't be over the age of 65. So they didn't think anything about it till they got a lawsuit.
Oh, wow.
From this guy's attorney that says that's age discrimination. Mm-hmm. And they said, no, we didn't. We hired him. We just can't give him the post that he wanted. And so
the
EPLI company stepped in and they defended this thing. And some $35,000 of legal bills later, nothing was paid because the courts decided this is not a lawsuit that is valid. But yet, $35,000 of legal fees got expended trying to get rid of this thing.
Wow.
And so it just happens. So
when you're doing insurance for a company, you kind of go, okay, here's all the things. Like, here's a list of things, all the different liabilities, basically. And they can go, okay, you could say, okay, I don't think this will ever happen to me. Sign the document 2 days later. Fred.
Yeah, Fred, why did I do that?
So you really kind of have all these different, ways to do things. But so when you take on like a security company and they, mm-hmm. Maybe they have the cameras and the monitoring and they have the people and the whole thing. Are they protected? Like, what if it is a bank, right? Well, I know you deal with that. So, hey, my security guard's going to be there at the bank and the bank gets robbed. Now, I know there's the other thingy, the federal thing that's, protects the bank if someone steals all their money. But would the security company get in trouble for the loss because the security guard maybe didn't protect it very well or got overrun by the criminals, the thieves?
Okay. Yes and no. If you go in, and this becomes real important for a security guard company, if you go in and you set what they call post orders, which is all of the do's and don'ts that a security guard is responsible for. So you'll have 10 things that a security guard has to do. He has to make rounds. He has to check in at each spot that he went to. Most of these are checked by electronically anyway, because they track the guy's phone to see that he's not standing in one spot too long. And that way they can show the client that here's the route that he was, and these are the times that he was at these different places. But when you set your post orders, you set them out and the client signs off on them and is agreed. Now, here's where the discrepancy comes. You'll go to a car dealership and you'll tell a car dealership, here's what you need. You need a guard at the front watching the cameras. You need a guard at the gate to make sure nobody drives off with a car. And you need a guard that's walking the perimeter to make sure that nobody's cut through the fence in the back. And they say, well, we can't afford three guards a night. We only want one. And so they say, well, the alternative is you have to buy a camera system that's much bigger, because we need to put cameras at these points where our guard on the inside can see what's going on and report it. Okay. And they said, well, we don't want to spend that kind of money either. So just give us the one guard that sits and watches these cameras. Well, any thief worth his salt knows where the blind spots are on the camera. That's real easy to spot. Usually it doesn't happen at a car dealership as much as it happens at trucking companies, because they've got these trailers that are loaded with electronics that unfortunately they're not sharp enough to not back that trailer up to the back fence. So somebody cuts through the back fence, they cut the seal off, they open the doors, unload the trailer, and the next morning the loss is found in the broad in the light of day, and all of a sudden you've got a claim. Well, if you have post orders that spelled out that we suggested that you do X, Y, Z, and you didn't want to do but X, we can't protect against a loss. Security guard company is only their guard's responsibility is to observe and report, not to take action.
Okay.
So observe and report are the key words.
And that's same from a private eye, right? A private investigator too is like observe and report. Yes. It's not like, you know,
not like TV.
So in other words, it's not like the bodyguard with Whitney Houston and Kevin Costner.
No. If it
I wouldn't mind Kevin Costner.
If it is, I'm reluctant to insure him, because those guys are destined to hurt something.
Yeah.
Hurt themselves, hurt, you know, a perpetrator.
What do you have? What happens with that? But like
the bodyguards?
Does the police force even have insurance?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Well, that's kind of
city insurance.
Oh, city. So would you do that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Well, they have what they call public official liability, which covers the city for defense in case of a lawsuit. Now, they're going to get sued, but in most cases, those suits don't do what you think they'll do. Now, there is the case where it gets high profile case where somebody, the police misbehaved or didn't do what they thought they should have done, and somebody dies. Deaths are a different deal. But security guards have deaths too. You know, we have guards that occasionally will confront somebody. That person will attack them, and the guard will have to either defend themselves or die. And so they're allowed to react under a self-defense issue. And then most times the security guard company is going to wind up getting some type of lawsuit from an attorney or an estate. And then you have to deal with that. But but that's not the norm.
The
norm is, I would say that's maybe less than 6% of the total number of guards that get involved in those type situations.
What about bouncers? Bouncers in a bar or a nightclub, what about them? Because that's kind of a different security. Well, I don't
know. whole different
that's
issue.
Different.
This is what I tell my guard company. They ask that question because bars and nightclubs are always looking for a security guard company.
Yeah.
First off, the insurance to insure a guard company in a bar is
going to be expensive.
1, 2, 3, 4. It's at least 5 times the normal premium for that.
Okay? Yeah.
So if a guard company was going to pay $4,000 a year for their premium, they're going to pay $25,000 for the premium. And here's why. A guard has a gun. A fight breaks out between two cousins. And now, by the way, any story I tell you here is not made up. These are things that have actually happened.
This is why we brought you on the show.
Yeah.
40 years of experience of this.
Including the bizarre. Including the bizarre. But anyway, so one of the managers hollers out to the security guard that's in the parking lot, we have a fight. And so these two guys, one has a knife, the other is unarmed. The guard rushes in and confronts the guy with the knife. In the meantime, the other guy grabs the guard's gun and starts shooting not only the guy with the knife, but everybody that he can aim the gun at. So essentially, your security guard brought a gun to a knife fight.
Yeah.
And so you have created a giant mess.
Yeah.
By getting involved in something that you shouldn't have been involved in. And so that's a difficult thing to teach, is not to react just because somebody asked you to run in and get involved in it. That's not your job, not a security guard company. So I'll tell you a funny one. I had a security guard one time that was bored. He and his partner were guarding a motel, like a Motel 6 that has the long hallways.
Oh yeah.
And so they decided they wanted to have a quick draw contest in this hall.
Oh no.
Uh-huh. And so they did the
back. What was the age? What was the age? Is this the 20 to 30?
Well, they were younger than they should have been. One was 20, one was 22, the other one was 24.
Oh my gosh.
And they were back to back and they took 20 paces they turned and one of them thought he had his safety on and he did not. And so he fired and the shot went through the wall. Through a headboard of somebody that was sleeping.
Oh no.
Fortunately, there was no deaths, but the motel got sued. The security guard company got sued.
Everyone's getting it.
Everybody's getting sued. The other instance happened one night when a security guard who was overzealous wanted to see how long it would take the fire department to get to the fire.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So put a trash can, lit it, pulled the fire alarm. The trash can was too close to the wall. It went up the wall, started a fire in the wing of this motel. They had
evacuate.
But he was standing at, he was initially praised because he was getting everybody out. And so he was going to get a humanitarian award till they figured out he's the one that started the fire.
Oh, my gosh.
And then under questioning, figured out that he did this because he wanted to see how quick the fire department would actually get to the fire.
So what kind of qualifications, and what kind of training are we talking about when we're talking about security guards? Is there like a national thing where they all have to go and do the same kind of training, or are they all trained differently? There's a whole bunch of questions at one time.
Okay. There is no national program.
Okay.
There are training schools. Okay. If you're going to carry a weapon, then they go to a training school to not only teach them how to be a security guard, but they also teach them to get them licensed to carry and give them some do's and don'ts on carrying a weapon. But there's a lot now, there's a lot of ex-military, ex-police. So there's, I would say there's probably 60% of your security guards out there now are ex something. So their training has already really been established and they know what they're doing. But, you know, you've got that 40% out there that just thought it would be really cool to strap on a gun and walk around a property. Security guards are not what you picture they would be. Security guards are not your old guy that is sleeping behind
not
the
Barney
desk.
Fife.
Right?
Not Barney Fife.
He was not a security guard. He was a policeman.
Okay.
Well, that's true. That's true. But they are not that way at all. Security guard business has upgraded itself over the years, and so have private investigators. They've upgraded their image. They've upgraded their ability to perform and actually work hand in hand with most police departments.
Right.
Most police, in fact, there are you have ability to get protected by a security guard company quicker and a lot more efficiently than you can call 911 and have the police, because police is shorthanded.
Right.
So you're much better off getting a security guard company that has a good reputation to protect you and your property than you are trying to rely on the police to deal with the issue. A good security company will teach their guards to protect and observe and call for help. Mm-hmm. Not to step in and get involved in the confrontation.
Well, doesn't it also help the property? I mean, when you think about a business like a motel, right? And, you know, we spend a lot of time in hotels and things like that. And, you know, if you have, as a guest, if I see a security company, and you never know, you can sit there and do your hotels, bookings, whatever.coms. Mm-hmm. Until you get there, you don't know.
You don't know.
You're staying at a bed and breakfast or a resort, it's different. We were at one not long ago, and we actually had some really interesting incidences over, especially traveling the way it is. They were doing some kind of, and this was not a slummy hotel, but it sure looked like one by the time we got there. When we arrived, they were doing some kind of training. I don't even want to get into it all, but it, like, you worried about your car.
Yeah.
And so they had the security guy patrolling, and I stopped him. I said, because I kind of figured I'm going to make my mark here. Don't you touch our car.
Yeah.
I'll kill you and eat your feet. That's what I'm saying, right? You can't get to heaven without your feet. So I'm like, they're all, you know, let's help you take your luggage up. Everybody that's there for this training, none of them have had jobs. This is, you know, this is one of those places where if you let anybody have an inch of an opportunity, something's getting stolen. This is where it was. And
sure.
I'm not being rude. This was I know when to be ultra aware. So I just looked at him and said, well, I'm right in front of the hotel. There's a light right there. Is this the best place to park the car for the ultimate security? And he looked at me and he goes, yes, and good luck with that. But yes, you want to stay there. It was my way of going, I knew he was coming on shift. Watch my car, please. Like, you know what I mean? It was like, I'm like, hello, it stuck out like a sore thumb. And, you know, we've been driving our car for hundreds of thousands of miles, and it was doing good. And he did. And the car was fine and everything was fine. But, you know, we've seen so many motels and hotels really having to up their ante right now. And just there's a homeless situation in our country. And
oh, sure.
I'm not saying the homeless, the Big people time. Who are homeless are bad or mean. There's a situation. And so, like I said, if opportunity arises, it arises. And so
desperation.
How many times have we seen a homeless person try to get the free breakfast? Not in during COVID.
No,
you don't get
the
breakfast no more, but we've seen it.
Remember the one fellow decided to change his clothes in the parking lot?
Oh, yeah.
And then we called the hotel security because I'm like, by the way, you have a naked man in the parking lot.
He's not naked. He's naked.
He's naked. You might want to do something. So they said, oh, yeah, we'll send security. Well, an hour later.
Yeah.
Security. And we found when we called back and said, you know, how long did you think he'd wait for you? And seriously, we found out that there were like five or six hotels who hired the one company. So the security, I think there were two guys in the car, had to travel five, six hotels in rotation and keep doing the rounds. And so when they're at hotel A, hotel Z was, you know, in trouble, maybe, you don't know, depending on what happens. So I'm like, well, that's almost like not having security, because if you are anybody with a brain and you mean to do something that you know you shouldn't do, and you know there's security, you're going to watch how often they come around.
Criminals watch.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. They watch
so
as
you
much
know.
As a security. Yeah, yeah. But that my point was like, if there's a security at the hotel, you know, 24/7 or a security company, watch company, as a guest, you automatically feel better. And it also does at least put off, unless it's a situation like Nancy's talking about, which there's a lot of those, you are automatically, at least if someone's there the whole time watching, you're going to get less attempts, than someone.
Oh, absolutely.
You know what I mean? That, like I say, opportunity is opportunity, and criminals watch the public. Mm-hmm. They watch businesses. That's their job.
They look for people who are not aware.
Right. Right. So the security thing's important.
The security guard, and I tell clients this all the time, security guards are just a deterrent.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a home security system.
Right.
You know, if you have a home security system, it is not going to keep anybody from breaking in.
Yeah.
But if you have a security system and your next door neighbor does not,
yeah,
there you go.
In all likelihood, they're going to go break in next door.
Exactly.
Because they don't know how sophisticated your system may or may not be.
Right.
And so security guards are the same way. All security guards are equipped with panic buttons. Okay. So they have the ability to hit a panic button and call 911 if they think somebody's life's in danger. And so, electronically, most good security companies are set up so that the security guard doesn't have to respond. All he has to do is observe and report. And that's what you want. Because they're equipped to do a lot, but they don't have powers of arrest. They only have the ability to tell somebody else who does have the ability to have powers of arrest. So your naked man in the parking lot, although I'm sure at some point it was either cold or humorous. I'm sure you
it was Florida.
Oh, well, I didn't take any pictures, but in that particular instance, if he were breaking into a car, he would have been broken in long, got the stuff long gone.
Mm-hmm.
We thought was the next thing, actually, even though he was naked. We don't know if that was the car.
Well, he did have his own car.
Well, we don't know if it's his car, right? You don't know because he had a big teddy bear, a giant teddy bear. I know. Man with giant teddy bear in a car. I don't know. I didn't make that up.
Hard description. I got a naked man with a giant teddy bear in a car.
Yes. Try phoning
the police. It can't be that hard to find.
It was not really,
but try phoning the police with that.
Well, I think I hear what you're saying about that, about, you know, them having a almost like a direct line to the policeman, because the police have their beat, they have theirs. There's that communication, like, you know, the end of the night bar knows the chef down the street that goes there after his shift. You know, it's that same family. I want to touch on private investigators, because that's something, it's like, you don't even think about it until you need one, when the husband wants to check on what the wife's doing or vice versa, or even in a business situation. But there's so many reasons to hire a private investigator. And I want to do it just for fun. I don't know what I'm going to investigate, but it just sounds like, cool, I got a private investigator on the case. Come on.
Investigate your mother. She's easy to find.
Oh, yeah, right. I know. But it's so different.
How do you know I'm your mother?
But is it the same thing for a PI? Because he's private. It's his own thing. Is it the same kind of insurance as with a security company?
No, it's a little bit different, because private investigators have the ability to do different things. For instance, they do a lot of background checks. They do a lot of computer work a lot of times.
Where so they're not wearing really the coat and the hat and the whole thing.
No, they're not doing that. But there is a real segment of the private investigator world that is cloak and dagger. Most of them are ex paramilitary of some kind. Mm-hmm. I've got one client. They all like specializing in different things. I've got one client that for years was one of the leading ransom hostage recovery people in the world.
Wow.
He had a team of ex-military people that traveled around and would pull somebody out of a ransom or hostage situation. Wow. He was paid handsomely by ransom insurance companies. If you have a oil executive, for instance, that's in Colombia, all right? And they find out that he is attached to a big oil company. I guarantee you that the oil company has a ransom, kidnap and ransom policy on this guy, okay, that will pay for either the ransom or they'll pay for the recovery one way or the other.
Wow.
Because their job, their goal is to get this executive back. And depending on how high you are up in the food chain is depend on how big the policy is. So most of these terrorism groups know a lot more about this than most people think they do.
Well, look at what just happened. Is that kind of like, I know that's not private investigator, but with that one thing that just happened now with I can't remember the pipeline, that one company up east, and everybody got shorted gas for like a few days in the southeast because of the, it was like a hacking thing, ransom.
You're talking about Colombia.
They just turned around and paid it.
It was a hacking situation.
Yeah. Now,
with that, the U.S. government was involved in trying to find out who did it. And there was also a couple of private investigation companies that had giant cyber ability. They were also, because there was a bounty or put on these people's heads to find who got the money. So what they did is they followed the money, as I understand it. Now, I was involved, but as I understand it, they followed where the money ended up in order to find out who it was that did it. Now, the one thing that I can remember years ago, there was a girl up toward Colorado that got kidnapped, and a couple years later, they found her. And she wasn't that far from where, but this homeless looking preacher guy had kidnapped her and was camped out in the woods. Okay.
Right.
A PI company actually was hired by the family to track down leads and find out where she was. And they were instrumental in helping find her place. And so there's a segment of PIs out there that are very, very good at what they do. There are families that hire them for, it's funny because when you think of PIs, you think of Columbo.
Magnum.
You think of Monk.
You're thinking.
Yeah, yeah. So that you think of those, but the reality is most PIs you don't ever hear about. You don't ever, unless they write a book, you don't ever hear about them. And because they don't want to be heard about.
Yeah, they don't want to be known.
They need their anonymity. But if you sit around and you talk to these guys, the stories they tell are just unbelievable. I mean, and you didn't hear about anything except maybe the end result. You didn't hear about how they got to that.
Mm-hmm.
But the old deal about torturing people and kicking down doors and all that's a probably exaggeration for television. But I will tell you that a good private investigator is extremely have the ability to solve difficult issues. And most of these issues are now hacking is a big deal. But most of these issues, if you're traveling outside the country, okay, kidnap ransom is a huge industry. A lot of these. You remember years ago we had this pirate issue.
The Somali.
If you had a ship. And you were going down toward the Cape of Good Hope, okay? Mm-hmm. There were a group of pirates out of Somalia.
Right.
And they would attack these giant ships from several different angles. And they would get on board and they would kidnap the ship and they would take it back and they would hold it, okay, for ransom.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of those have gotten dealt with. Because private security or private investigators were on they hired teams to go in and work like a Delta Force. They would come in very stealthily in the dead of night, and they would rescue the people. So that's a lot of what PIs are good at. You know, they're good at doing things that police can't do. Because the police departments are really hamstrung in a lot of ways where private investigators are not. So if you want to get something done and you want to get it done in a timely manner, private investigator is the way to go. It's a little more expensive, but it's effective.
When you said about the ransom insurance, it's really interesting about the companies, like the oil companies, obviously you being in Texas, you know, we had an interview twice now, he worked for the CIA. I'm going to say his name is Jason, and I really can't remember the last name right now, but one of his interviews is on the website, blendradioandtv.com. Just type CIA in. Well, you never know who you might find on our site with that, but he's a former CIA, but he was on Shark Tank, and he wrote books, and he has a camp that teaches, you know, millionaires and billionaires how to get out of a kidnapping situation. Exactly what you're saying.
Or avoid one.
Yeah. And now he's teaching families how to, you know, travel. And it's really fascinating. And his books are good. But that whole ransom part, and it really does happen, but I didn't know there was insurance. Mm-hmm. So when an executive goes and joins a company, right, an oil company and whatever, or whatever, you know, thing they're doing, is that something to ask? Like to make sure that the company has a ransom insurance so that yours kind of, you know what I mean? So you know that they're invested in you.
You want to ask two questions. You want to know if they have a kidnap ransom strategy. Okay. All insurance does is fund a way to make that strategy viable. But a lot of the companies may think it's too expensive and they can hire a private investigation company on a retainer basis that will take care of the problem cheaper than kidnap and ransom insurance. Because as you can well expect, it's gotten more and more expensive over the course of time. Years ago, you probably remember, you may not, sweetie, you're a little young, but your mom and I do. There was a oil family named Getty, right? And his grandson, J. Paul Getty's grandson, got kidnapped, and they cut off his grandson's ear and mailed it to them with the ransom note. And his family expected that J. Paul would step up and just pay it. And he said, absolutely not. I won't do it. He refused to pay because he said, if I do, then everybody in my family now has a target on their back.
Right.
Okay. And he would not allow anybody in the family to pay that ransom or pay a ransom. And I don't know that I disagree with it.
It's harsh.
It's harsh, but I can tell you that somewhere in the background, there was probably somebody that could rescue that kid.
Yeah.
Giving him advice. You know, you've heard the old saying, proof of life. Well, that's the first thing they want to ask for. They want proof that this person's still alive and well. Most investigators that deal in this subject know what the best way to negotiate these things are. And paying is not necessarily the answer. All that does is create you more problems, because if you give them the $1 million they're asking for and you do it too quickly, then guess what?
They want more.
If you've got $1 million and you can get it that quick. So, you know, let's just ask, hold out for another two.
But so, yeah, like these hackers and these cyber, you know, hackers, to me, that's what they're trying to do. Everyone's just like, okay, here's, you know, pay the money, and then they're going to do it again. That's our first instinct. They're just going to keep coming back. So do you see this being as like one of the bigger new things as insurance is like all the hacking, the ransom money from hacking? I mean, no matter
Absolutely.
What your business is.
What I think is going to happen is you're going to have, for lack of a better term, you're going to have private investigation or companies, not necessarily private investigation companies, but you're going to have companies that are going to start employing super hackers, guys that can penetrate the hacker system. All hackers, and now I don't know a lot about computers, but I can tell you that every computer person I've ever talked to talks about backdoors. They always have a back door.
Yeah.
They have a way that they can get in that they think nobody else knows about. Okay. And that's their safety net to allow them to manipulate different things. Well, I anticipate that will be the next big thing, that they will start developing a system that will be able to pinpoint exactly where these people are. Now, people that are watching, you can forget about what you're watching on CSI and all that stuff. Somebody's got a vivid imagination. There is not that software.
Yes,
we can ping your phone.
Yes.
Whatever you are. But hackers are sophisticated enough where it's hard to track their whereabouts. And then if that's the other thing. If you're dealing with the government, it's hard for the government to cross over country lines. So if you've got a hacker in Russia that has done this, okay, and the money is headed back that way, well, a private investigation firm that deals in this and can go ahead and go to Russia, and they can stop this process before it gets started, so to speak. And so hopefully, but the end of the day, it should be in the private sector and not in the government sector, because the government's hands get tied.
It's too slow. It's too slow.
Yeah.
There are things people can do that, I mean, I personally check our bank accounts 3, 4, 5 times a day. I just do.
She's it's helping it grow.
No, I just, yeah. I've always done it. I just
add some fertilizer, Nancy.
And then when I always approach the car from the back, I want to see what's not from the front. I want.
Yep.
There's just certain things that I've learned over time that make sense to do. And I think we get really lax, you know, especially that because we lived in Africa for so long, I'm more on edge about things. But even now I find myself getting a little too comfortable. You know, and so I just feel like that we're comfortable in this country, and yet we have a pretty high crime rate. We really do. So, you know, I think we're just a little too, I don't know, thinking it would never happen to us kind of thing. You know, but then in Africa, I got robbed. We got robbed so many times that it was like, oh, what, that again? And you just didn't have anything valuable, like, it's like I didn't buy anything worth anything because it was a given that it was going to go bye-bye one day. Yeah. So here now, you know, it's like we have a lot of stuff. People have stuff, you know, and if you want to protect it besides insurance, you need to just kind of be a little more aware. Like, who is that strange guy walking down the street that's done this for like the last 3 days? Might want to find out.
Sure.
Get a security guard or a PI. I want to ask, does your insurance cover just Texas? I mean, I know that's kind of a small place.
We're all over the United States. We insure all the way from California to New York.
Oh, wow.
We have clients that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all over across the country. Now, and then you look at different, you're like the broker part, right? So you can choose what's the best plan
for. We deal with all of the available companies that write that type of coverage. So we don't play favorites. You know, our slogan is we give you the broadest possible coverage at the cheapest price. Because we don't really care. What we try to do is match up the what the security or the private investigator is doing with the company that likes what he's doing. Okay. As an example. If you tell me that you want to do bail bond recovery work, okay, there are only about 3 companies in the entire United States that will even touch bond recovery. Because bail bond recovery guys have a tendency to ignore a lot of the standard laws that are out there. They don't mind kicking down a door. I had one call me the other day and I said, have you ever had any claims? And he goes, well, we did have this one guy where we broke into the apartment next to his and he heard us. So he jumped out a 2-story window and broke his leg. And he's trying to sue us because he broke his leg. And I went, well, first off, I have to ask, why did you kick down the door next to this?
Yeah.
He said, well, we just had the wrong address. We had the wrong address. And I went, okay.
Oh, boy.
And so bail bonds people
What about the people that tow people's cars?
It's like, it's Dog the Bounty Hunter. That's who it was.
Here goes Nancy again on Dog the Bounty Hunter.
Have you ever seen that program, Dog the Bounty Hunter?
Oh, yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
Would you insure him?
Would I insure him?
Yeah.
No. But I appreciate the offer.
They're very, very simple.
I think it should be on the Comedy Channel.
I know.
I really do. I think it should be on the Comedy Channel. Yeah. It's so funny. That's one of the funniest programs ever.
I have one question before you go. I think that I would like to be a security guard at a winery, and I'd like to sit at the wine tasting table and taste to make sure
the wine is
that
right.
The patrons get the right wine. Would that be a good security job?
I think it would be an excellent security job. And if I ever retire, I might even attempt that. But yes, I think it would be an excellent job because now you have to be careful because too much wine and saying you're security don't necessarily mix. People expect you to be upright.
I'll be sitting.
Yeah, well, if you
I won't get bored. I won't get bored. This is one security job
you
where
get
you
bored.
Won't get bored. And I will not be bored. Harmed. I'll just have a bottle.
And she might pass out.
You can do security / wine taster.
I like it.
There's always a job for you.
Yes.
I love it. Fred, thank you so much for joining us.
So much fun.
Great stories. I mean, just when you thought it was safe to go outside. Everybody, again, on Fred's website is dfainsure.com. Please keep up with him. Call him for a great story, but call him to find out. I mean, so it's security companies, private eyes, cities, obviously, too. Anybody that's got to do with
alarm companies,
companies, all of that, keep up with Fred. But thank you so much for joining us. Everyone, keep up with us at bigblendradio.com. We are Monday through Friday. And sign up for our newsletter. You'll get our digital magazines in your email box. Thanks so much, Fred.
Thank you guys for having me. I appreciate it.